Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. With the Time's Up and hashtag MeToo movements, sexual harassment is being seen for the treachery it is, and those who perpetrate or enable it are being called to account in life-changing ways, but not in the Catholic Church. That conclusion comes from an op-ed in the Boston Globe, which was written by Helen Drinan, who once ran human resources for Caritas Christi, the Catholic hospital system under the Boston Archdiocese's leadership. Currently, President Drinan is the president of Simmons University. She joins me now. President Helen Drinan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana.
Now, before we begin, I want to note that President Drinan and I have worked together in some similar professional circles for a long time, that I've held a senior role in the Archdiocese previous in my career, and I am a faculty member of a Catholic university now. So, President Drinan, you wrote your op-ed. You said that it was motivated in part by your 2006 experience as head of human resources for the Caritas Christi hospital system. Just to give some context to our listeners, Dr. Robert M. Haddad, then the CEO, was accused of sexually harassing women at work. As head of human resources, you got involved in the investigation and found those claims to be credible. Then what happened?
After the claims were found to be credible, we had investigations that were done by the Human Resources Department and investigations that were done by an outside lawyer that really were the same investigations, just making sure we covered all the territory. And we reported our findings to the lawyer for the Archdiocese of Boston, who then reported them to Cardinal O'Malley.
And what happened after the report to Cardinal O'Malley?
Well, we had a meeting with Cardinal O'Malley, and I was asked for my opinion about what should be done. And I said that I felt very clearly that we should terminate Dr. Haddad's CEO status at Caritas Christi. And we should do so because we were very, very, very sure of the facts. We had investigated very carefully, and because every previous employee at Caritas Christi who had had comparable violations of our sexual harassment policy were, in fact, terminated.
And ultimately, was the doctor terminated?
Ultimately, he was. It took a little bit more process in between the first meeting and the ultimate termination, but he was indeed terminated.
So now it's more than a
actually, he resigned.
Okay.
But the termination ultimately was the outcome.
Ultimately, yeah. The doctor left the hospital.
Right, exactly.
Thanks. And I appreciate that clarification.
Yes, it is a clarification because you can be terminated or you can choose to resign.
Yeah. So it's more than a decade later now.
Yep.
And one of the things that was really striking in your op-ed is you said, I feel called by the Holy Spirit to discuss your experiences in that instance and with Cardinal O'Malley and with the Archdiocese. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you a little bit more about your motivation. Mm-hmm. Why write this piece now?
So why now? I think I do indeed believe that we have guidance available to us at all times from the Holy Spirit. And I have prayed over this constantly. We're reminded at church every week to listen to the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And for many Catholics, that is an integral part of how they think about their faith lives. I was particularly impressed by the results of the Pennsylvania grand jury report regarding the systematic abuse of children, thousands of children in throughout all of Pennsylvania, practically.
This grand jury report came out in August.
Yes, it did. And by the active and collaborative efforts to keep that secret within the Catholic Church, it was only through the effort of the legal system, the Attorney General in Pennsylvania, that this all came forward. And it just seems like, especially that afternoon at church when the priest came forward and said, this has happened, and Cardinal O'Malley wants to convey that he's very sorry. He knows that Catholics are getting impatient, that the secular world is not holds no confidence in the church. I just thought, here we go again. And how many more times can we do this without really losing complete attachment to the church?
So I hear in that answer really the answer of a Catholic. I also wondered as I was reading your piece, how much of your piece came from you as a leader and how much of it came from you as a woman? And I wonder if you'd discuss that.
Those are great questions, Tiziana. I am the leader of a 6,000-student university in Boston. We employ thousands of people in the educational endeavors. And I know that the buck stops with me, no matter what goes on in the university and no matter what mistake someone has made. At the end of the day, I'm responsible for that. And I believe that is the only way that an organization can really stay true to itself and true to its values. When the leader knows everything that goes right or wrong, it's my responsibility. So as a leader, I believe strongly in accountability at the top. As a woman, I feel very responsible for speaking up for the unempowered. So many times we as women feel voiceless and unempowered. And over the course of my life experiences have helped me to have a voice that I use as frequently as I can on behalf of others and sometimes on behalf of myself. But I believe that as a woman, we have a responsibility to speak up in the face of what we see as injustice. I also feel like we know from so much research that has been done that when the voice of women is included in the discourse of any kinds of organizations, the decision-making improves and the performance improves. And we as women need to stand up and take that responsibility.
President Drinan, thank you for both of those comments. You talk about accountability there. We reached out to the Archdiocese today. They didn't comment for today's story. I do want to point out that in October, the Cardinal announced he was hiring an external law firm to review allegations of sexual misconduct in all three seminaries in the Archdiocese of Boston as a result of another story that broke in August. Doesn't that feel like a move to accountability? Does that not feel like a genuine and tangible step in the right direction?
It does, Tiziana. So without sounding like I criticize everything that happens, let me just say that I think when you have lost as much trust as the church has lost, particularly here in Boston in the eyes of Catholics who are here, you have to overdo trying to regain the trust that you have lost. So, for example, in this particular case, it started out with investigating one of the seminaries, and then it went moved to a place where one person was appointed to oversee the investigation, who I think reasonably you could question because that person is a formal part of the archdiocese. And then finally, we went to the stage where we were going to have an outside law firm do the investigation of all three.
In order, in part, to avoid that sense of separation, I mean, of potential conflict.
That's correct. So here's the lesson from that. Do the external investigation first. Don't take the step of maybe we'll do one seminary, maybe we'll appoint somebody in the church. Go all the way to Bright. When you have this much trust at stake or loss of trust at stake, you cannot be perceived as taking half measures towards transparency.
So I wonder then, I find myself thinking as I'm listening to you, took a big step in your op-ed and suggested that there should be an investigation of the extent to which Cardinal O'Malley was aware of the activities of Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. And the Cardinal had acknowledged that he made mistakes or apologized for not seeing a letter in October 15, 2015 that raised that up. Am I hearing you saying that part of the reason that you're suggesting that investigation is as a part of a desire to restore trust for the Archdiocese?
Absolutely. I think that Cardinal McCarrick's fall from grace has disappointed so many Catholics across the United States who thought of him as a true role model and a substantial voice for the Catholic Church in the United States, someone that people felt proud to think that person is a cardinal in the Catholic Church. And then to find out what we have, that there were settlements made because of his behavior long ago, long before he was the prominent representative that he became for cardinals in the United States, and that was clearly known to people within the church, and to have the Pope and Cardinal O'Malley not cleared of any concern whatsoever that they didn't act on the information about the cardinal is just allowing that mistrust to continue. I don't expect any particular outcome. I would like for all Catholics to be able to say, I knew it. There was nothing to do with the cardinal in this. But to not do that leaves many people saying, this was so shocking Cardinal McCarrick's behavior was so shocking that now he's the first person, a cardinal, who has not been able to remain a cardinal until his death. And he's in a circumstance where he's being asked to be in prayer and isolation until this church procedure is, that's a huge cloud over Cardinal McCarrick. I know he's not a cardinal anymore.
Right.
That I think you don't want to have any doubt out there.
And if at the end of such an investigation, the Catholic community could say, to use your words, I knew it, Cardinal O'Malley, you know, there was nothing there.
Right.
Does that restore trust in the Archdiocese to let us move forward?
I think it goes a long way. I think there are so many people in the church who are looking for a sign that they can have faith again. And I have to say, I'm one voice, and I realize I can be a voice of not a voice that people would prefer not be out there. But what I'm saying is felt by so many Catholics. It would be such a mistake for the church in Boston to think that I'm somehow a big outlier.
Okay.
Really,
okay.
That would be a big mistake.
Now, President Dryden, there's so much more that I wanted to get mm-hmm. to, but we've only got about a minute left. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to jump to the question I'd really like to ask you. You talk about having one of your own grandchildren confirmed in the church recently, mm-hmm. and you're a steward of young people.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to say to young Catholics today?
Hold on to your faith. Your faith is the faith of generations before you. Keeping it alive so that you can pass it to the next generation when hopefully the institutional church has recovered is so important. Do not lose your faith. Do not give it away because the church is in such strained times these days.
Well, with that message of faith and inspiration, that is Simmons University President Helen Drynan. President Drynan, thanks so much for being here today on Radio Boston.
You're welcome, Tiziana.
Appreciate it. That is our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, which is Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Zoe Mitchell, with help from Eve Zukoff. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.